Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Praying Together. You are studying Lesson 4, Supporting Your Pastor with Prayer. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
I want you to see what the New Testament has to say about praying for preachers. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, if you'll learn to pray for your pastor instead of criticizing, bad mouth the way he dresses and all that kind of stuff all the time, if you take up and just do your best to fulfill the prayer requests that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letters to believers, asking them to pray for him, are you going to have revival in your church? Praise God. I mean, it will take place because the man will begin to preach the Word and there will be signs following. Father, we praise you for this today. We're excited about it. And I'm asking you to open the eyes and the understanding of all of us together because, Lord, we need and we desire moves of the Spirit of God in our churches and in our cities and in our governments. And we just praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember we talked about united prayer, and we talked about the fact that in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, when they were arrested for preaching and they came back to the church, and the prayer that the church all prayed in one accord together was not a prayer of crying and carrying on and begging and all that. Oh, you know, our preachers got arrested and No. They weren't praying the problem. First of all, they praised God and they went to the Word of God. They brought the Word before God and praised Him about things that He said in His Word, things that David had said, and that God was the mighty Creator of all things. They weren't crying and bawling and crybabying around about it. And they certainly didn't call together a committee meeting to see what we could do, you know, to get rid of these people that violating our civil rights and all that kind of thing. No, that's not what's first and primary with God. The Word of God is what's first and primary with God. You remember that we read yesterday from the book of Mark where the Word said that Jesus said, go preach and preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe. And then in the 20th verse, it said, and God went with them, working with and confirming the Word with signs following. It is the Word that causes believers. It is the Word that causes faith. It is the Word that causes conviction. It is the Word that causes signs and wonders to happen. It's the Word that brings the devil to his knees and drives him out of the congregation. Praise God. Now then, I want to show you some things here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and let's see how the Apostle Paul worded this, what he said about it. So vital, so important. And 1 Corinthians, let's see, that's in the New Testament, isn't it? Yeah, amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read with verse 8 through 11. I'll get it here in a minute. All right, here we go. Verse 8 through 11. Who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful. I'm reading 1 Corinthians and it's supposed to be 2. That's good anyway, isn't it? God is faithful. I'm going to read the rest of that. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God, that is vitally important. I don't believe that is an accident. We're called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's His Word, His Gospel, His name in which we preach. That's where the power is. We're not begging God to come down here and do some kind of hokey pokey, you know, or whoo, shoo, yeah. So, maybe something like that'll happen. No, that's not the idea at all. The Word of God goes forth. There are miracles and signs and wonders. That doesn't cause believers. It gets their attention. And when with their attention you preach the Word of God with boldness and with power, that's when you get the results. Now, 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter 1. And we'll look at the 8th verse. Amen. Now, I promise you. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now see, here's trouble on the scene again. When Peter and John had trouble, they went to that church congregation, but they didn't pray, oh, we're in so much trouble. No. They wouldn't do any good if they had. That's one of the reasons there's not any more action of God in our lives than there has been, because we just rehearsing problems all the time. Instead of putting forth the Word wherein lies the power in the name of Jesus to change the problem. The Word of God is God's power part of our prayer lives, and when we pray it in the name of Jesus with whom we've been called into fellowship, praise God, then you get Him on the scene. Amen. Now, again, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. I'm telling you, it got tough around there, didn't it? But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Now listen. Oh, you getting this? Now listen. He said we're trusting God, but now this is part of His faith in God. Now this was their part of His faith in God. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. That many cry to God because I'm in this despair of life. No, that's not what He said. He said, by you giving praise. Praise God that He's delivering me. He said, I'm going to be delivered. There's no question about that. And I am delivered. I trust that He will yet deliver us. He said, He delivered me from that despair. He delivered me from all that trouble. And I believe and I trust that He will yet deliver me. What's the Apostle Paul saying? He said, you know, I'm going to get in trouble again. There's no question about that, brother. I ain't hunting a peaceful place to preach. I'm going to cause trouble somewhere else. And I believe when I do, He'll deliver me yet. He'll deliver me again. But He said, you can help with your praise. Whew. Isn't that powerful? You can help. Didn't the Bible say, we studied it already in prayer, studying about thanksgiving and praise, where the Bible said out in the 8th and the 9th Psalm that God has ordained strength in praise. And when I praise you, God, my enemies fall back at your presence. The Apostle Paul is saying, get in there and praise with me. Hallelujah. You folks get in there and praise with Kenneth and Gloria. You begin to praise and thank God, praise the Lord, that we can expand and reach out to more television stations. Begin to praise, oh God, I thank you that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is free of all debt and free of all financial encumbrances, that they're free and they have mighty power and signs and wonders. Isn't that what they did over there in the book of Acts where we read yesterday and the day before about that? Sure they did. He said, by many giving thanks or praising by many on our behalf. our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but the grace of God, we had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. Praise God Almighty. Now then, he's talking about that we are rejoicing, we are praising God, and in doing so, the power of God is flowing through us. And he said, why don't you join me with your praise? And he said, you can help in this. You can help by praising God with me. Now then, let's go to Romans chapter 15. And let's look at something here where he requested prayer of the church in Rome in the 30th verse, chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you. Wait, let's back up here and read a couple of verses before that. I'm sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what he said. I'm coming in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, the word, the preached word that brings faith. It's by the gospel and by faith of the gospel that we're saved and so forth and so on. Now listen to this. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. I beseech you for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. In other words, I'm out here doing what I'm doing for the sake of Jesus. He's asked me to do this. I'm in the same boat. Paul said he was in that boat. I'm in the same boat. That's the reason I'm on television. I want to tell you something. I wouldn't give you two bits, two hoots and a holler for being on television to be some kind of TV star. You gotta be kidding, man. Forget me. I got better things to do except as a medium and communication where I can share God's word with you. Why? Because Jesus Christ of Nazareth asked me to. That's why. That's the reason I do it. That's the reason you go through all this to bring this to you is because Jesus asked me to do it. So I'm doing it for His sake, right? Yes. But also for your sake, to bring you and Jesus in a more vital walk to fulfill what He's asked me to do and help you receive from Him the things that He wants you to have. Now then, let's go back over there again. I want you to catch on to that and then we'll read right on down through it. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive or you work and press together with me in your prayers to God for me. Notice he said, do it together. Come together in the thing. Come together with me. Come together in it. Boy, I tell you, that just gets to my spirit. It gets to my heart. It floods my mind. To think about all of our partners out there that I have the privilege of writing to every month, and we coming together. Oh, boy, dear God, I love it. That you press together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now listen, here's why. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. Isn't that outstanding? He said, I want you to press into this thing together with me. He's telling the people at Corinth, I want you to add your praise and your worship with me. He's telling them the same thing, to praise and to worship and stand for it. Praise God. So that what I have to say, the word that I preached will be heard in Judea, and what I've been assigned to go preach in Jerusalem will be heard. Why? Because it is the word that brings the signs and wonders and the results. Praise God. Amen. Now then, let's go over to Philippians chapter 1. Now he wrote this letter to a church which were his partners, and said this to them. Listen to the 19th verse. I know. Well, here again, we're going to have to back up a couple of verses. He said, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Christ is preached, And I therein do rejoice and will rejoice, for I know this, he said, for I know that this shall turn my salvation or my deliverance. Not talking about his being born again. He's already born again. He's talking about my deliverance. Same thing he's talking about over here. People trying to stop the word. That's what's happening over in the book of Acts. People told him to quit preaching in that name. Here he's saying, forgive me, I get so excited I can't hardly talk, man, when I'm talking about this. Because I know what this will do. I know what it'll do for your church. I know what it'll do for your pastor. I know what it is doing now for me. Praise God, because this is the way people are praying. Hallelujah. I know that this shall turn to my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Praise God. He said, whether I live or whether I die, it's going to be a testimony to Jesus Christ because of my expectation and my hope, my believing God, because I know you're praying. I'm not just praying. I know you're praying. He said, I'm praying for you, and you're going to receive. He'd already said that in this first chapter. Now he said, you're praying for me, and I'm believing I receive what you're praying. Praise God. And together, all of our needs are met, and the boldness to preach it is there. The deliverance from the hand of those that would obstruct the gospel is there. He's not talking about taking it to Congress and passing a law that you can't touch Christians. No, he's talking about an outflow of the power of God, amen, that no government, no court, no anywhere can stop it, amen. Now then, let's go over to Colossians chapter 4 and listen to what he said to the church at Corinth, the third verse. First verse says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same, and with thanksgiving, or with praise, you see, and worship, all that power that comes with praise and thanksgiving, with all, in other words, include in all of that praying that you're continuing in, and all that praise and thanksgiving, in all of that, praying also for us. Now listen to what his prayer request was. Praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak. What's he praying? Open the door for the word. Deliver me from those that would stop the word. Pray that I speak the word boldly, he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And we'll come to that one in a minute. He said, and for us that I may have utterance boldly. They prayed and said, God, we pray. Over in the book of Acts, we read Peter and John, they said, pray, we pray that your servants speak your word boldly. Because it was the word that brings the results. You get the word involved in it. I don't care how weak men are. I don't care what governments are trying to do. They can't overcome the word of God. It's the word. The word is the central figure of our prayers. Though Jesus is the living word of the living God. And it comes to life when we pray that. You ought to be praying that for your pastor. God, I pray for my pastor that you fill his mouth boldly and give him utterance in the Holy Ghost that he speak like he ought to speak. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak it, and walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Praise God. He's saying, you pray for me that my message will be filled with fire. You pray that I preach it boldly. You pray that I don't back away from it. You pray that I have revelation to preach and have utterance in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Brother, you get that, and I want to tell you something right now. All the threats of all those other people. Let me tell you something. Now that the Berlin Wall is down is not when all the preachers are going to start preaching. All those preachers preaching an unashamed, uncompromised word from the living God, underground, above ground, or wherever else they could get it preached, and people taking authority in Germany. A pastor from East Germany said this. I heard him with my own ears. He said, we got a hold of Kenneth Hagin's book on the authority of the believer, and we found out we could pull the devil down from his stronghold and that we could preach the word boldly the way we ought to preach. And he said, we started taking authority over the devil and pulling his strongholds down and pulling him down over that government and pulling him down to open the word of God up. And we prayed that it be a bloodless revolution, and it changed things. And he said, it has happened and not one person lost their life. Boy, man, you talk about a miracle. That's fabulous, isn't it? But he said that revelation that the church has authority over the devil and that it is the word that brings results. When you pray the words, when it brings results. When you preach boldly is what brings results. That's what brings the signs and the wonders. And he said it spread like fire all over East Germany. And he said that's what brought it down. Praise God. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. If they'd only had that revelation in Romania. Think about the hundreds and hundreds of lives that could have been saved just by pulling the devil down and shutting him up with the word of God instead of having to use machine guns to do it. Amen. Now, it's something to think about. Now then, let's go over here to 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, and let's see what he says here in the first verse. This is a true saying. How about 2 Thessalonians, Kenna? Okay, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it right now. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Now listen, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Did you get that? He didn't say, oh, y'all pray for us. Oh, y'all pray that we be delivered from these unreasonable men. Oh, I mean, look like we're going to get to preach anymore. Oh, we're losing all of our religious freedom. We ain't going to get to do anything. Now, I'm not putting those down as stand up for Christianity and so forth. Don't misunderstand me. But that's second place to the Word of God. And if you're trying to do it with political strength, you're trying to do it some other way, you can write 82 million letters to that, twice that many politicians, and it will never do what the bold proclamation of the power of the living God in Jesus' name will do. And I'll tell you something else. You won't have near the trouble with politicians that you do with religious folk. Now, that's a serious indictment, but that it's the truth anyway. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. In other words, it's the word that's going to deliver me. And so what has he said? He said, praise with me. He's saying, pray for the flow out of me of the supernatural utterance. Well, in order to have that, you're going to have to have revelation from God. Then, finally, I promised you I'd read this from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and where he talked about the full armor of God and so forth. And he comes down to the 18th verse, said, put on that whole armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So your prayers, he said, I know I ought to speak boldly about that. I know I ought to do that. Now, I'm speaking for me, Kenneth Copeland, the calling that I'm in. I know I ought to speak boldly. Your pastor, if he's called of God, knows he ought to speak boldly. But I'm going to tell you something, my dear sister and brother. Criticizing me is not going to bring boldness out of me. You know, going to the news media and you know, telling them my car is too good for me is not going to help me. That's not going to bring the word of God out. That doesn't bring anything but ruin, gossip, and all that kind of junk. Your prayers have an effect. Those people's prayers had an effect on writing the New Testament, because those letters that came while he prayed for them brought out prayer that brought the boldness of the gospel into these letters that you and I now read and hold so dear. So your prayers have an effect on your pastor. What do you pray? Fill his mouth with the word. Hallelujah. Get the word in this congregation. That's what counts. Get it in there. Your praying for me makes a difference. Heavenly Father, I pray for this congregation. You pray for me right now while I pray for you. God, I pray that the word come alive in their households and their families and their churches. We pray for this nation that a fresh power revival of the word of the living God flow and cause signs and wonders and a shaking from the White House to the lowest house. Praise God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute, you ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around, yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.